welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nick.
And Janelle.
And we want to thank you for joining us on another podcast of Beyond the Vow. Really quick, in the way of announcements, I do want to get this out there. If those of you who are listening to this podcast, if you have not had a chance to listen to our previous one, I highly recommend that you do. That podcast episode is titled Cult Profiles, Church of God Restoration. That episode is one that we did, and we're doing a series from now on about different cults. And it just so happened that the Church of God Restoration was the first one that we decided to cover. And so we did that one, and one thing led to another. And in our next podcast, so next week, so we're talking about the episode that's going to drop, and that will be May the 2nd. We are going to have an interview, and it's going to be from someone who is a survivor from that cult. Someone who was in that cult, raised in it, and finally got away from that cult. So you are not going to want to miss that episode. It is going to be very, very good. And there's things that shocked us that is going to shock you with what we discuss from this cult, and just how dangerous it is, what it does to the families and everything like that. So we highly, highly encourage you, if you have not, please listen to last week's episode on Cult Profiles, Church of God Restoration, to kind of get you up to speed. And then next week's, that's going to be May the 2nd, on a Thursday, we are going to be dropping that episode. Or would that be May 3rd? Because it's a Friday. We generally record on a Thursday.
I don't know. Next week is all going to be messed up.
You know what? Let's do that. Let's, okay, check that. It'll be May 3rd, which is a Friday. Yeah, that's when we'll probably release that. So when you get up in the morning on Friday, May 3rd, that's when it's going to be out there. So disregard May 2nd, which is a Thursday, it will be out May 3rd. So you are not going to want to miss that podcast. It's going to be fantastic and horrifying all in the same sentence, I guess. It's just going to be wild. Anyway, so we were kind of talking, and we're like, okay, we were going to do a podcast for this Thursday. And we did some talking about what we wanted to discuss. And we decided we would kind of give you a little bit of a life update, and then there were some other general discussions that we wanted to do. So we have, if you think about it, we would definitely be in need of your prayers. We've kept you all pretty much up to date on everything concerning our journey through the whole fertility struggle and all the different things that we've been going through. And how we have been going to a physician and a fertility specialist, and we have been going from one step to the next. And so Friday, that's actually, by the time you all hear this podcast, it will be Friday the 26th. Janelle is actually, we will be going to a specialist, and she will be going through her preliminary
Her pre-op appointment,
and they'll be, putting her through all the loops and everything like that.
As our fertility specialist said, it's annoying, but I have to do a pregnancy test on you.
Yeah.
I can guarantee I'm not pregnant, but...
I guess I shouldn't have said through the loops. It's through the hoops. That's the proper way, yeah.
Or loops.
So, we go through that tomorrow, and then next week, Wednesday, that will be... I believe May 1st. We are definitely looking for your prayers. Janelle will be having a procedure, and they are going to be going in and removing the polyps. And I guess we really didn't give everybody too much of a an update for everything that we saw from that appointment and everything, did we?
Well, I thought, did we?
You posted something.
I did post something.
You posted something about it.
We have exactly 3 polyps.
That they can see.
He was pretty sure, though, that there were only 3, at the most 4. Now, the first appointment, he said I was full of them. So I had put in a great big post out that it was long and drawn out, but he said there were, I was full of them. I'm going to say, okay. He brought, I don't know, did we discuss this?
No, we never did. He brought a med student.
He did bring a med student in, and he goes, well, this isn't, like, almost through it. He asked if I was going to be okay with his med student coming in because he was male, you know, he's a gynecologist, you know. But, he's got to learn. It's nothing like...
Right, but they also had a female nurse in there.
Yes, and you were in there.
Yeah, so it was fine. And we were kind of... They got to learn. Yeah, we were talking about that later, and it was like, these people have to learn, and how else is the next... Like, our guy that is dealing with us, right. How is the next one going to get trained?
Because he's not going to last too much longer.
Yeah, he's breaking down, poor guy.
So I consented, yes, absolutely, we can have the med student come in here. And so, he was very respectful. If he did not have to be looking, he kept his eyes
to the wall. He just looked away, yeah, poor guy.
I think he was probably super uncomfortable,
yeah,
too.
You know, and he was very respectful, though. Like, you know, yeah. He's, everything about you is laid bare. And he's on the business end of it. And he just kind of, he did not sit there and just oogle out. He just kind of looked away. And he just stared at the screen as the ultrasound was going on, yes. And everything. Yeah, they were all very respectful.
So this is a very ouchy procedure. Oh, that was just Monday. So
yeah, that was Monday.
So we wouldn't have had done
no,
an update.
No.
Okay, so it's very ouchy. I talked about the HSG where I can't say the whole thing because it's a stupid long word. Mm-hmm. It's where they check for the fallopian tubes being open. I would say this is not quite as painful, but for whatever stupid reason, when a catheter is inserted into, like, up through your cervix, into your uterus, it feels like someone is up there stabbing you. And it's just a very tiny little tube that goes through, you know, a cervix is, like, it has a hole in the center of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that tube goes up through, and I feel like it shouldn't hurt that bad, but I guess it's a foreign thing being in sort of
yeah, exactly.
System.
Yeah.
So, and then for this one, it was a saline ultrasound is what they were doing. So they were expanding my uterus with saline. It sounded like a waterfall at the end of the table. Like it was... And I think
I didn't see what was happening down there, but I saw the aftermath and just how everything...
it was so...
He was pouring it in there.
So he fills the uterus with saline so that he can actually see. And there were very clearly very large, three of them, polyps.
Yeah, you could see them. Best way I could describe is like, imagine if you will. Sorry, I'm trying to get a charger hooked up to this laptop. There was basically, imagine the uterus is just like this kind of opening, like this... I don't know.
It's an oblong opening.
I don't know if most
it's like
you
could
really imagine one.
It's a cave.
Yeah. You've got, there was one at the entrance, one midway and one in the back. And do you mind me explaining?
I don't care.
What makes this so important and that it has to do with infertility is that how it was explained to us is that it is thought that these polyps secrete a fluid or some kind of a substance that makes the uterus a toxic environment for a fetus. So nothing can implant because it whatever, I don't know.
It's like killing it.
Yeah, I guess it's just there and it's inhospitable. And once those three things are removed, that toxicity is removed, and all of a sudden, hey, you're able to have... And that's another thing that's really sad. I was talking to my mom about this. How many people we've known in the past that have had issues with infertility? Some of them never had kids, and it may have been something like that.
Right.
But just didn't know.
Now, he was very clear, and this I cannot stress enough, he was very clear that this may possibly not fix the fertility issue because I am 40 and that drops your chances for getting pregnant. So total, not per month, but total, he's giving us a 41-45% chance of getting pregnant, which in his word, if you're using probability as a 51% chance,
right,
is what probability is. It's less than probable that we would get pregnant.
But think about it though. You have a 40-some% chance every month.
No.
Not every month?
Total.
Oh, total. Okay, I got you. Okay, all right. Well, that's okay.
Total, I have 41 to 45% chance of getting pregnant. Now, I do know that God is going to answer this prayer by either a pregnancy or by an adoption.
Right.
Our prayer is to become parents. By hook or by crook, it will happen.
It'll happen.
We just have to figure out which one.
Right.
And going down this route first, because at the end of the day, these polyps, while it's not common, could in the future cause issues such as cancer or other issues. And since we're being very open, we have been here in the past year, my monthly cycle has gotten to be, well, let's put it this way.
It's been very bad.
I have never, ever, ever missed church because of my period. Last Sunday I had to, or the Sunday before I had to, because it just was, it wasn't probable to go to church with what I was dealing with. So it has gotten, so that in itself is going to be a huge blessing, whether or not we get pregnant. The fact that I absolutely, hopefully will not have to put up with the pain and the other amount of stuff. Mika's getting a drink.
Yeah. The shepherds are in, if you happen to hear noise, it's them.
So that in itself was, I'm going to say, led by God, because, you know, we found these things that could possibly, because I'm to the point with my monthly cycle that if the doctor came through and said there was no point of any kind of treatment that I could not get pregnant, I would go straight for a hysterectomy. That is how bad it feels.
So, without going into great detail, the Sunday we missed church, I remember she was so bad off and in so much pain. I came into our bathroom and she was in the shower, laying on the floor of the shower with the water on. She was in that much pain.
Yeah, it's not
been
that
good. Miserable. So it has gotten worse and worse. And so from what the doctor has told us in the investigation we've done, these polyps definitely contribute to that.
Yes.
And it's gotten worse. So we don't know if these are things that are getting larger and they've just come on within the past couple of years, few years. We have no clue how long they've been there. But we do know that May the 1st,
they will be gone.
They're going bye-bye. Evidently, everything concerning a woman and everything going on there normalizes for people who have gotten rid of those. I was actually in the doctor's office while we were checking out to leave, and there was a woman just down the hallway talking about her daughter who had gone through the same procedure, and she said everything for her had drastically improved after she had a procedure to remove polyps from her.
Right.
So, regardless of whether or not this cures the issue with the fertility, it is going to definitely take care of a lot of health concerns long term down the line.
Right.
Because, as he said, those could turn into something cancerous.
They could. So. And he has a very weird way of putting stuff. So I have just asked clarifying questions when I had. He said, well, that's concerning. Mm-hmm. And I think he noticed that I like tensed up like instantly.
Right.
And he was like, no, not in that way. He said, I'm not concerned that anything's like cancerous or anything. Right. It's just, I couldn't get the saline back. So there might be, you know, a polyp that I didn't see. So there's three or four of them.
Yeah.
So not full. So I had posted that, he has 30 plus years of experience being a fertility specialist, not just an OBGYN, but a fertility specialist.
Right.
If he said I was full of polyps, he has seen enough full uteruses full of polyps to know what that looks like. So I'm going to give God credit for there only being three in there.
Yeah.
And him disappointing his med student greatly.
Because I think he thought there was way more in there. That's why the med student was there.
Yes.
To get a good example of what that would be like.
This chick is messed up. You should come see this.
Yeah, it turned out you weren't as messed up as what they thought. So,
we're
thankful for that. But we do know that this has been a contributing factor. And that this will be one more step in the process.
Right.
And it's eliminating factors that we have control of.
Right.
And then the other side of this is the whole endometriosis, if I said that correctly.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, he's suspecting some of that.
But he can't see it. That's right. The thing.
And I think that when he goes in there and they're going to do the... Is he the one actually doing the remove? Okay. So when he goes in there to do this procedure, I think that that is what's going to say whether or not that's there. He may come back with a clean bill of health, but if that is there, that definitely stacks everything up in against us in that regard, and it's going to just further kind of push us towards, I would say, that adoption phase.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, some of you have seen a push for, and whether or not, this is stuff I enjoy, so whether or not, you know, I would like to get back behind my camera. So if you're in the area and want pictures, let me know. That's not just, but all of that, all of those things will be going toward baby fund. And I want to work for what we're given, not just have, you know, our hands out for this.
We will update you all though, as to what's going on, because our hope and prayer is that we never get to that point. And that this procedure takes care of that, which after this procedure, so we've got the pre-op tomorrow. You have the procedure May 1st, and then you have the HSG that will be coming up. And this is another thing. I think we may have mentioned this in the past.
So I went through that horrifically painful HSG, which he probably would have done again anyway.
And it was because one of the reasons why it was so painful is because that the tubes were blocked.
Yeah, they had to push extra hard. And there was pressure.
And so they're not blocked anymore. So I don't think that's going to be as bad of an issue. Like I can't testify to that because I didn't go through it. You give me the look. It's like, you have no idea what I went through. But what I'm saying is there's a dye that they use for this that has been, there was tests done in Europe, and it was kind of like the side effects of this that they really had not anticipated was that people were getting a boost in fertility simply through this dye that they use.
Right.
And the first HSG that she had, this dye was not used. In this HSG, he's doing this on purpose to use the dye. So literally,
I don't need the HSG, but how he will coat it.
He's doing everything he can to give you a shot.
The greatest thing is he is coating this stuff as like normal GYN gynecology appointments. So like he's not mentioning infertility when he codes it for my surgery for... because they have to come out anyway.
Right.
Some gynecologists.
This is long-term health.
We had also a kind of a scare with our insurance because they called me, Cabo Health called me, was that Tuesday, and said that my insurance was saying I needed a prior authorization for the surgery, and they would take up to 2 weeks to make a decision on whether I could have it. And I was like, well, I'm having it, whether I have to pay out of pocket or not, I'm having it. So come to find out, because I had one insurance and then changed jobs, and then I only had that insurance for a month before they switched insurance providers. So I come to find out that my insurance, now we're still not going to be out of pocket for the surgery, I think at least for part of it, because neither it's early in the year and neither one of us have met deductibles. So they are billing both insurances, which I didn't think they would do. So mine first and then Nick's as my secondary. Because I am doubly insured simply because of at least getting through like fertility or OBGYN or whatever. And then we can drop double coverage and save us some money. But generally, when you call an insurance company, you have to wait forever to get them to even answer the phone, and then they're rude and hateful and nasty. But I didn't have I have United Healthcare for my insurance, and I had the best experience with them. She was able to give me my member ID instead of making me answer a ton of questions and then wait for a card. And so I was able to get that over to the hospital, which they already had by the time I called them, because they have a magic portal apparently to get that in there. So all of that was taken care of. I didn't need a prior authorization. They were going to bill both insurances. So hopefully we won't owe as much because the secondary insurance will be billed for whatever didn't. So I don't know how that works when they do that. So, she said everything would be fine. So I have my pre-op appointment tomorrow, pregnancy test, CBC to make sure that my blood count's okay. And then, he's going to listen to my heart to make sure that's all good. So everything's good. I'm healthy chick. So
good.
And I had lost 15 pounds since the end of January when I first saw him.
You know, you get on that cruise, man, that cruise, everybody packs it on with that cruise.
I don't normally pack weight on with a cruise though. Generally, I do well. This time I just was eating everything in sight. And I just was like, since the end of January, I think I put some back on with the cruise. But then I've been working really hard and eating. Well, I can't say working really hard. I've been eating right. Mm-hmm. And that's 3/4 of the battle when it comes to losing weight. So we've been eating right. And my blood pressure was was a good down from what it had been in the end of January. So yeah. That's the update. So I have surgery next week, and Nick called in reinforcements because I'm a bit unruly after I've had anesthesia.
You all have no idea.
I tried to talk him out of his shirt in the oral surgeons.
There are videos of this, and she was so... I had heard rumors, well, stories from her family as to how bad she is on anesthesia. And so she had oral surgery one time. About a year and a half ago, something like that. And I go back there to see her, and she's just passed out in the chair. They had removed a molar or done something. I don't know
what it was. Wisdom tooth. It partially impacted and broken wisdom tooth.
So I go back there, and I'm trying to talk to her, and she's so out of it. And I did everything under the sun. I told her she was adopted.
Why I didn't fit in.
Yeah, she's like, that's why I didn't fit in. Like, she's totally believing it. And then the doctor walks in, opens the curtain, steps in. She's like, she goes, there him is. Just like totally just out of it. And then she looked at me and she said, you're cute or something like that. And I'm like, oh, thanks. She's like, is that your shirt? And I was like, whatever it was. And she starts taking her finger and she's like moving it up my arm. And she's like grabbing my shirt, trying to lift it up. She said, let me see. I said, no, we can't do that. Now, let me see. I said, no. I said, we're not going to do that here. And then she goes, ah. I mean, it was a horrible laugh, like some villain. And I'm just like, what has this stuff turned my wife into? And I had warned her beforehand. I said, when you're on anesthesia, you lose all your human rights for about 8 hours with me. I don't care what you say. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. Nothing. So I get her, and the lady helps her out to the van or the truck. She gets in the truck. She's just passed out. She's got enough wits about her where she's actually able to tell me her birth date.
That's the only part of it I remember.
We went to pharmacy to get pain meds or something for her or whatever, and she was telling me that. And on the way home, she doesn't remember anything until the moment she stepped through the front door and into the recliner. But she had conversations. Remember now, molars removed from her mouth, but she's convinced she wants KFC chicken. And she's like, oh, I go KFC. And I have her mom on the phone over the truck speaker, and I'm talking to her. I was like, no, I said, we can't do that. And I had taken like her rings from her, or her ring, in order to just hold on to it during the surgery or whatever. And she's like, oh, you can just keep that ring. And I was like, oh, getting mean, are we? I'll just dump you along the side of the road. See how you fare.
I get my fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness sakes. So
there's two me's.
There's one on anesthesia. Yeah.
There's Twilight me and there's anesthesia me.
Well, I don't trust either one of them.
Twilight me is just as bad as the anesthesia me. I just know what I'm doing. I just can't control it. Anesthesia me, I have no idea what I'm doing and I don't remember
it. Don't worry about it because I control all of it. So you don't get to go nowhere. Nothing happens or anything. So like we were talking about, like we're wanting to go to stop at Starbucks afterwards and get something on the way home in Ashland. And then we had talked about Joann Fabrics, but I think because they're closing. And so they wanted to look for some things. She and her mom did. And it's like, do we do it that day or the next day or whatever? And it's like, I think we might try to go out and do something like that the next day maybe or something like that or see how she's feeling. We'll see. But we're definitely not doing anything right post-surgery because I don't need nobody over there in the corner stripping off.
I did that too.
Yeah, no,
that was under Twilight, so I knew what I was doing. I literally had no control. I was cold, and I had talked my mom into taking me to, again, this was oral surgery.
Your mother's easily influenced by you. It doesn't happen with me.
I think she likes the stories. Mm. I think she likes to make fun.
Is it worth what could possibly happen in a public setting?
No, because she took me to Ponderosa, and I got cold, and I pulled my arms inside of the shirt and then rolled it up. Well, it was a V-neck shirt,
no. So
I was all exposed. And she looked back there in the corner, and there I sat with my bra hanging out.
They're about ready to start Narcaning you, thinking you're losing it.
So anyway, so she rushed back there, got me dressed again.
Yeah, and that was when she knew there were problems.
The first time, my dad fed me 7 plates of mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. 7 plates.
Okay.
Because I just kept eating, and he wanted to see how much I could.
I bet you paid for that gift later.
I probably did.
Yeah.
And then ice cream. He added the ice cream on top of it. Finally, mom made him stop.
Because your dad's just like, your dad's just wanting to pack you full of whatever there is.
He just wanted to see how much I would eat. And so that, so I've run into a wall and apologized to it.
Okay.
Like I ran right into the, like the wall between the elevators. I had already taken the Twilight medication. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to drive. Mom had to strap me in so I wouldn't drive.
Yeah, no,
I was hanging
happening
out the window. Mm-hmm. She had to stay with me because I was trying to mow my lawn on my rider. Mm-hmm. I took a nap. I talked her into going to Walmart because I needed a
didn't you buy a lawn piece of lawn furniture?
I did.
And you slept in your driveway.
In my driveway. Yes. I sold a puppy then too. And I had to call him the next day and was like, if I was a little off, I had just had oral surgery. He said, you were pretty messed up. And I'm like, he probably thought I was a druggie. But yes, I sold mm-hmm. a puppy when he was, when I was completely out of it. And yeah, so it was a bit of a struggle. I ended up sitting in the backyard weed eating along my fence with my fingers. Like I was pulling the weeds along my fence
with
in
your
the
fingers.
Backyard with my fingers.
Was your mother there to see this?
Yes.
How come
she
didn't stop
you? Mowing.
Oh, wow, she's like, don't worry, that's
like,
just that's just my Nebuchadnezzar over there.
She's just
with the grass.
You know, as long as I wasn't driving and operating something that was like could mm-hmm. kill me, she's like, okay, just let her go. So anyway, I am a bit unruly. So that is, I think I'll be fine the day after. I just took the second day off because anesthesia does leave me very tired the day after. So yeah, that's the reason for 2 days off, and then I'll go back to work on Friday.
Well, you know, it'll all be done, and we'll see where we're at on the other side of it, and you'll have a bit of time to recover, and then you'll go back for an HSG, and then after the HSG, you've pretty much got everything physical out of the way that could possibly be a limitation.
So he said 3 to 4 months if we're pregnant. He wouldn't be surprised if we got pregnant 2 to 3 months, but definitely needed to be pregnant by 3 to 4 months if we were going to be able to get pregnant. Of course, he's not God and doesn't know everything,
right.
But God did give him his intelligence and his know-how and his his
God called
whatever.
Doctors too.
He did. So I think probably we've discussed by September or October, if we haven't gotten pregnant, then that's when we will...
We'll start angling the other direction there.
And really aggressively pursuing adoption.
I am going to say this. If there's anybody out there listening and you all have been struggling to conceive, most insurances will cover everything leading up to treatment that actually treats infertility. They will cover
the diagnosis
the diagnosis
phase.
They'll cover HSGs, all that. So really, and from what I'm understanding, at least from what I was seeing, I mean, like this whole thing with the polyps, evidently it's a thing. There may be a lot of folks out there with that are going through some difficulties of conceiving, and it's something like that. So I would say that, you know, it's definitely worth a shot going into a specialist and just being examined. And I can't testify as to what kind of discomfort they go through. Only Janelle would know.
Ow.
It may not be the most, you know, pain-free thing. It's going to be uncomfortable, but the possibility of the reward.
The recovery is actually pretty bad. It's like during it. It's like...
The reward outweighs any of that.
Right. HSG or the HSG was worse, and it will be worse again. However, Dr. Burns, for the saline ultrasound, did give me instructions to take a prescription dose, so for 800 milligrams of ibuprofen before, and I will say that definitely helped and played a part in me not feeling discomfort or crampy after the saline ultrasound on Monday. I was able to come back, go to work, and with the HSG, remember how tired I was, and I was just crampy and nasty feeling. However, they had, you know, flushed out my fallopian tubes and opened them, had to use a lot of pressure. So this one probably will, because it's still going to send it up through. He will still send that dye up through the fallopian tubes.
Right.
So, you know, it will probably be just as uncomfortable, but he is very... A lot of gynecologists don't pay attention to he calls them their ladies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They don't really focus on the pain. He was one that does. He doesn't want anything to be he wants things to be as pain-free as possible. I think he did get a little frustrated. He's like, most people, when I insert this and it gets pain, they do the breathing. And he said that will sometimes force that tube back out and I have to start over. So he said, focus on your breathing. Well, then he didn't tell me when to focus on my breathing. And he got the catheter in there and he got ready. He said, see, you did what I told you not to do. Mm-hmm. So he did get a slightly frustrated with that. But
I do want to say this real quick for anybody out there, because we were talking about this liquid that's used in the part of the HSG, and it's this, it's called Lipiodol, L-I-P-I-O-D-O-L, ultra fluid. And they said it enhances fertility. It's now been endorsed by Ireland's Health Products, but it's something that's Europe had kind of done a study, and it was kind of like an official, mm-hmm. unofficial report that this dye they're using for these HSGs is boosting fertility like big time. Well, not big time, but it's boosting it. So right. If anybody out there was, if you just so happens that you were going to get an HSG, mention that to them about what kind of dye are you using, and make sure it's this, because we have access to this in the States, and this actually boosts your fertility, because the first hospital we went to have this done, they did not use that liquid. So you can get that, and there's something about it where it somehow boosts your fertility and just those few little percentage points. I think it was like a 10, maybe like a 10, 12, 15% increase. Yeah. And it's like just that chunk right there, maybe what it takes.
Yep.
So
that's where we are. Next week, you guys can find out how goofy I was.
Yeah, we'll probably discuss that. We'll also, no, probably not, because that's going to be the interview.
Oh yeah. I mean, the next time we give an update,
the next time we do an update, we're probably going to do an update. I would say that would be, you'll probably see posts on our Beyond the Vow Facebook page. And that, which if none of you, if you're listening and you have not been to our Beyond the Vow Facebook page, we highly encourage you just go to Facebook, look up Beyond the Vow. And you can go to our Facebook page, and that's where we post updates and things like that. That's where Janelle had posted about her previous appointment and everything like that. We'd love to have you on board. But the 9th, I think May 9th is probably when we would have our first official update in a podcast with the interview with our guest coming the 2nd, which I am definitely looking forward to that.
Yep. So one thing I will add right before we move on. If you are struggling with infertility, that can be one of the biggest faith shakers that there is. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how you lean into it. You can either lean into, God has given up on me, he doesn't care. Or you can lean the opposite way. That says that his plan is perfect.
Mm-hmm. We preached the other day at a church, a Christian Baptist church in Kentucky, and the sermon that preached on was, in essence, trusting God's process.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't understand why the answer is taking so long. We sometimes don't understand why we get the wrong answer than what we hoped. And sometimes we about lose it because of the chaos around us. But just as in Isaiah chapter 30, where Hezekiah and the children of Israel, the Jews, were about ready to be faced with annihilation by the Assyrians, God came back to them and told them that in confidence and rest is where they'd find their strength, and that they trust him. In confidence and rest. And I think that goes against what we, it goes against our nature, mm-hmm. because we want to do something.
We want to have our fingers in it.
We do. We feel like we know better. We feel like we can make the difference. Something we say or something we do can take care of whatever the issue is. And mm-hmm. sometimes there is nothing, there's nothing we can do.
I saw a statement once that's always stuck with me. If you knew the magnitude of the blessing that's coming, you would understand the darkness now.
Yeah.
And while it's not dark, because I love my life with you, Nick, we do want that little person. So it's not, I'm not going to say it's, you know, this darkest tunnel where I can't see, I can't have enjoyment or whatever, because that's not true at all. I have come to absolutely abhor the song Because He Lives. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day is hard. Those things will always be hard until the answer is revealed. But that doesn't mean that my faith is any less. It just means it's hard.
Yeah. There's a friend told me one time, God loves an overcomer. We were talking about this evening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are all going to face trials. We're all going to face our own personal tribulations, physical, mental, a lot of different things that we're going to deal with. The way is not always going to be easy. And I think that that is especially, and yeah, I have to be careful of this, but people sometimes get caught up in the whole prosperity, health, and wealth movement. And they think that the way of the Christian is one that is laden with prosperity, wealth, and health. And sometimes that is not the case.
It rains on the just as well as the unjust.
Yeah, bad things happen to good people. And as Peter puts it, we are tried in the fire until we come out like gold. We get tried sometimes. And the way you are tried is not going to be like somebody else. It may be totally different. But how you handle that will speak volumes. And everybody's going to have, you know, you get saved, and whether you're a new believer or a older, believer who's been in it for years and years, you are still going to face problems and trials and things like that.
Life gets lifey, and sometimes you have to deal with that life.
It does. There's things you don't... You know, it's like, I guess we're just talking, it's like, Dad, I'm not going to be ashamed about it. We were sitting here eating supper, and I was totally fine, you know, and I had thought about, I'd love to tell Dad that, I'd gone out and preached at a Christian Baptist church, because that was where he was raised. And I don't know why, but there are evenings where I'll lay down and go to sleep, and it's interesting, you lay down and go to bed, and your thoughts start to circle the wagons, if you will, and everything of the day starts to rest, and you start thinking about things sometimes that you haven't had time to think about because you've been busy. And a lot of times it'll focus, I'll start thinking about Dad and stuff like that. And there's times it starts to get to me a little bit, and I have to fight myself, and I go, no, not right now, not right now. And I felt like it was kind of like a can that I keep kicking down the road, and occasionally it comes up.
Which we talk about him not kicking this can.
Yes, and it comes up. And we were just sitting here eating supper, and I started thinking about it, and all of a sudden I was like, no, not right now. Like I, and then all of it, I couldn't help it, and I just kind of lost it. And, I was just kind of sitting there, and I don't really know how to describe it. Only those of you who have lost a parent are going to be able to relate. I feel like it's a community that you never want to join, but once you're in it, you can relate, and it hurts. And I don't know how long it takes to get over it. You know, it's just something you deal with, but it never caused me to doubt my faith in God. It never caused me to throw God out. There's a website out there, and I've used this before as a sermon illustration, talking about, you know, how people handle things. And literally the site has to do with why, it's something along the lines of why I hate God. And you go into it, and it's people who are just posting why they hate God. I hate God because my spouse died. I hate God because I was divorced. I hate God because some of this. I hate. Page after page after page after page. And I sit there and I just go, Oh, and it hurts so deeply. I hurt for those people. You have empathy. You feel the pain. The problem is, though, they've somehow attributed God to being the source of their problem, when God can be the source of their strength. And I think many of us, many people out there forget that we are in a fallen world that is full of sickness, it's full of heartache, it's full of car wrecks, it's full of cancer, it's full of violence. And we must be overcomers through that. And it doesn't mean that God hates us. Somebody said one time, they did a really good job at it. They said, we blame God for the world's problems when it's really man-made policy that's caused it.
True.
And that is so true. Man has made a wreck of the earth. Man has created violence. Man has created awful crimes and wars and things. It wasn't God's fault. God is there many times, pick up the pieces. And if we only trusted him and trusted the process and we put our faith in him and held on to him, boy, what a difference it would make. So through the whole loss with Dad, I never blamed God for it or anything like that. If anything, I hang on to him tighter. And that's just basically how I kind of look at it. But, you know, there are ups and downs you go through. And especially through this, we don't question God because of it. We don't sit there and go, God, you know, we're angry at you, we're mad at you, or whatever. Well, let me take that back. There are times you go, why?
Absolutely.
And it is not wrong. I have
a question about why people who do not take care of their children can have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children and have them all removed.
Yeah.
And those that would make pretty good, I'm going to say, we'd make pretty good parents.
I think we would.
I feel like teaching our children to love Jesus, raising them in a Christian home, loving them, playing with them, keeping them safe. And it's a struggle. And that I will never understand. And that is a question that I have. And I think sometimes those questions they're valid questions. It doesn't mean you throw your faith away.
No.
It doesn't mean you get angry at God for it.
No.
But why?
I think it's okay to wonder why. It's okay. It's okay to wonder why something didn't happen the way that you expected it. But in the end, we have to go, you know what, God? I don't know why you did that. I truly don't. But I will trust your process. Yeah, I'll trust your process. So,
I think it's kind of like walking on the water.
Yeah.
Right? He got his eyes off of God.
Yeah.
The things I can get my eyes off of this is my age.
Yeah.
Things that might be going on inside of me. And that can make me lose hope.
Yeah.
And start sinking into whatever. And instead of doing that,
right,
you lean into it the right way.
Yep.
And focus on your prayer life.
Yep.
Your devotions. And you lean into it the right way.
Yep.
And the peace is pretty outstanding.
You know, I think sometimes we have problems simply because if we did not have these problems, we wouldn't need to depend on God.
Right.
And sometimes it's problems that we need in order to drive us to him. Because if life was pain and trouble free, why do you need God?
Yeah. I saw something just the other day that said, may I never forget to need God as much in the good times as I did in the dark times.
Yep. Yep. It's all about trusting God through the process. That's how you do it.
That's
all you can do. You know, it's frustrating sometimes about why things happen the way they do or whatever, but you trust God.
Because I can't match his plan.
No, I don't know.
It's perfect. I can't even come close to what his plan would be.
I don't understand why things happen the way they do, but I will tell you, there are times where through prayer, God has answered something explicitly. Mm-hmm. And you go, wow. And you stand back and you just kind of look at it. And you go, that's not a coincidence. It's not by chance. God really did that. And you go, okay. Like, but it's trying to understand his will.
I think we get so focused on, we want miracles that were Bible-type miracles. Those big ones where, you know, lame walked and the blind sees and illnesses are healed. Mm-hmm. We want those, and we don't pay attention to the small miracles that are happening. We don't attend. Hang on. Moose. Sorry, there's toys on the island, and he is very intent that he wants that. Where was I?
Talking about miracles. We all want miracles.
We want them. They want the. We want the big ones, and we fail to see the ones that are small that are happening every single day. Yeah. We must have prayed something that really ticked the devil off, because the other night I had an oppression like none other, and it was that simple prayer of I didn't let it go on as long as I have. This only happened once or twice before, but before that would have been really, really freaked me out, and it would have taken me longer to get my wits about me. But that it was such a subtle piece, and in the past, the couple times that it took so much longer, and I think we're so focused on those big things that the quiet, still moments are what we miss. Yeah. And those are where God is really affirming to you who he is and that he's showing up for you. But we miss it because we're so busy.
Yeah.
We miss it because we're expecting, we want the big things. That's why I think that a lot of times people, and I'm not dissing anyone who has a story of God pulling them up out of a very dark pit of sin. But I think those that don't have that story sometimes doubt whether they are a valid Christian because right. I don't have that story. When sometimes it is the peace and the still. Those miracles happen in the quiet and the still. When we, if we're so busy, we miss it.
Right. I think that's one thing that also kind of plagued the CHM a lot is that you heard everybody, it seemed like everybody, and it wasn't, but it seemed like it was the loudest people mm-hmm. who had the most, the stories of being the most deeply depraved and coming out of it and being delivered.
And amazing. And hallelujah.
These, right. And these things were put at the forefront, and it caused everybody else who maybe didn't have that to kind of feel like they were lesser of a person. They couldn't live up to that, that their story wasn't as important. It kind of created a false image that you needed to have some kind of experience, which I think we labeled it as experientialism or something like that.
Yeah, it's you're looking for that big pow out of the sky miracle.
But not everybody's going to have the big pow.
Right. And looking for those small things where you're like, oh, God did show up.
Yeah. That has happened even through this week, little things. And it's amazing that something would happen and I'd realize I was praying for something. And then days would go by and something would happen and I just kind of forget. And I'd get in the truck and all of a sudden, it's like God would kind of speak and go, you realize what just happened? And I would kind of stop and I'd freeze. I go, wait a minute, this just happened. And I go, thank you, God. I see what you did there. He's there.
We miss it because we're looking for the big things only.
And we're so busy. We're so busy. I forget who it was. Somebody was talking about, they said they kind of went away from their smartphone and all their stuff because their habit was...
scroll before you go to bed. It's the worst thing you can do.
They lay down in bed and they scroll through stuff and everything like that. And the problem is, you know, right before bed, that's when you should wind down. That's when it should be quiet because... You're asking God, well, God, speak to me, you know, and how can God speak to you when you're constantly cramming stuff into your eyes and your brain? Like your senses are being occupied.
Well, it also disrupts your sleep, quite frankly. Blue light is the most terrible thing.
And I'm not
saying it stirs your mind up. Like, and that's just on like a biological. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's late. Yeah. biological, level that is on. Not as much of a spiritual one, but as a real life, physical level. Having that phone in your hand 2 inches from your nose as you go to bed does not promote sleep.
It keeps your mind
active, and it hurts when it falls. But it keeps your mind active, and it doesn't allow you to relax, to go to sleep, and stay asleep.
Yep.
So anyway, that was a side note.
We've kind of been all through the countryside.
We have.
So I guess in summary... We have a whopper of an interview coming up. that mm-hmm. we're really looking forward to. Absolutely. To kind of help shed some light on the Church of God restoration that we feel is a threatening cult with what they have to offer. It's a nasty group. Contrary to God's word, preaches heresy and damages people. We have somebody coming in for an interview who is going to who's going to speak about their experience growing up in it and shed some light on that. You do not want to miss that. And once again, that will be on the podcast for May the 3rd. Once again, remember Janelle, as she has her procedure, May the 1st. We would definitely appreciate your prayers behind that and that God would have his way in that situation and we'd have smooth sailing if possible. And just remember, trust the process. And just because there's silence, it doesn't mean that God isn't working. Generally, when there's silence, it means God is working.
Right.
And look for the little things, too. Sometimes we look for the grand slam in the ballpark, but sometimes it's those base hits that really get us moving.
Yep.
So, all right, anything else?
I'm good.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us in this little episode of Beyond the Veil. I guess it's kind of small compared to normally what we do pump out with like an hour and a half, an hour 15. And we're hitting at about 50 minutes on the dot. That's okay. That's not too shabby. We're under an hour. Wow. So, all right, I guess we'll talk to you all later. See ya.